Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya, where we talk all about Lyme and beyond, because as most of us know, Lyme rarely travels alone. I created this podcast to offer you hope and to remind you that you can heal, because I did. I had a long 13-year journey, and it was exhausting physically, emotionally, financially, but it truly was a blessing as it reshaped my mind, body, and soul. In this space, we have raw and real conversations with those who have made it to the other side, along with breaking down different topics and approaches with practitioners. So my goal is to make you feel less alone, more empowered, and confident in being your own advocate. So thank you so much for tuning in today. And if you're looking for more tips and resources, I share everything I learned along my journey on my Lyme and Beyond with Tanya Facebook page. So let's get to today's guest. She is joining me all the way from Nashville. So my guest today is Brittany, and I'm a little extra excited to hear her journey because I know part of it involved hyperthermia, which is actually raising your body temperature. And that was one of my big game changers. But I don't run across many people in the community that have done this therapy. So it's always a little extra exciting when I run across somebody and just to hear how my story was different than hers, and maybe how they did the hyperthermia was different than the way that they did mine. So let's just get right into it. Brittany, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me here. It's the pleasure is all mine to be here today. So thank you.
You're welcome. So, where does your journey start? Some of us sometimes don't even know, right? But where do you think you're started?
Well, where I thought it had started was I was pregnant with our second, Riven. He's now, of course, 3 years old, but this was back in 2023. I was set to deliver little Rivy, and there were, had been some signs along the pregnancy. I just didn't know it at the time that it pointed to Lyme. But so I gave birth to my son, and immediately after the birth, something was different. I could tell I was very anxious. I could tell that there was almost like this sad emotion. And when you give birth, I mean, it's one of the greatest moments.
Beautiful things, right?
And usually, and with my first birth, it was just an exciting time. And that was not my emotion. And the insomnia, I could not sleep. We was right there in the hospital. I couldn't sleep. And I was like, well, maybe it's just every pregnancy is different. Maybe this one is just a little rougher. I'm gonna get through this. And so, we were loading up to go home, and I started, my right leg was just really hurting. And the nurse, I remember she stopped me and we talked, and she said, well, didn't your legs hurt a lot through pregnancy? And I said, you're right, it's probably nothing. And so when you make the walk from your hospital bed to your car, I just want to say, give moms props all around the world that had a C-section. That is the marathon you need to train for. It seems like an eternity, but you finally. So
That is funny. Good tip. Good tip.
out there to mamas. So we get home, and even that night, my right leg is just really hurting, and I'm trying all my holistic knowledge that I've just kind of learned from friends and from our holistic doctor. I get out the red light therapy light. I put it on my leg, and I'm like, all right, maybe this will help. Maybe it's just soreness after the C-section. And so it was night number two that we were home. I reached out to my doctor because I said, my anxiety's just climbing. I'm not been sleeping. And of course, Riven, he was so tiny. He was 5 pounds, and he would only eat just a tad bit. And I couldn't breastfeed at the time because we'll get to that in a minute, but I had mastitis. And so, which was very strange as well, that infection had started. And so I called my OBGYN. I explained to her that my anxiety was bad, that I was really having a rough night. And, she, of course, said this was on the weekend, and she was like, "Well, our office isn't open till Monday, but just come in and we'll have you looked at." And she said, "Call back if you need us." So I went and tried to lay back down, and it was around 1 a.m. It was like a truck landed on my chest, and I was gasping for air, and I could not breathe, and I had this unbelievable chest pain. And I thought that time was slipping from me. I thought this is it. And my husband said I began to shake uncontrollably and I turned ice cold.
Oh
And
my gosh.
it was truthfully one of the scariest moments in my life. And that next morning, thankfully, God got me through that night. And my parents had just left for Mexico. They were on their annual trip to Mexico. And I didn't want to bother my mom. I thought, I just, they're on vacation, but I didn't know what else to do. And so I called my mom. I said, "Mom, I'm really struggling right now. I'm not sleeping." I said, "Something is wrong." And, she was trying to calm me. And she actually reached out to one of her best friends who is the kindest and sweetest and the best cook that I know in Robertson County. And she came right over and was just like, "How can I serve?" And she took care of the kids, but she also gave me some herbal remedies to try for my breasts because they were hurting so bad. I couldn't even take a shower. That's how bad they were hurting. And so I tried the herbal remedies, but I couldn't seem to get relief. So I tried to lay down and I just couldn't get to sleep just because of the pain. And so I came back out a couple hours later and she made the recommendation. She said, "I think you should maybe go to a little clinic and maybe just get something checked out just to be safe, Brittany." And I was like, "Okay." So at first I was like, I can just tough this out. It'll be fine." And a couple hours passed, and I told my husband that I just couldn't bear the pain anymore in my breast. And I said, "Let's go to the little clinic." And I went to our local Fast Pace, and we were in the lobby. And I remember I couldn't sit down at this point because my right leg was hurting so bad. So I started pacing, and the nurse came out and got me, and we went back there, and she was examining my breast, and she let me know, "Hey, you've got a severe case of mastitis." And I was like, "Oh, wow." And she was, educating me all on that, and I was like, "This is so strange. I did not get this my first, pregnancy." And so she said she noticed I was favoring my right leg, and she said, "Is there something wrong with your right leg?" I said, "Well, I said I've had this pain in it ever since I've got given birth." And she said, "Okay, so she started examining, and she could tell that there was some swelling. And so she said, "I'm going to make this recommendation. I think you need to go to the ER to get checked for a blood clot." And was like, you kind of, after just having a baby, your emotions are already all over the place. I cried so much on the way to the ER. I just boo-hooed. And I'm sure my husband's like, "Lord, please help this basket case that I'm right now." But I was truthfully scared. I was like, "Oh, this can't be, Lord." And so we got there and we got into the ER pretty quickly. The doctor comes in and he's like, "Hey, what are you here for?" And so I started talking about my symptoms, and he could tell that, of course, I had a little bit of headaches, but I wasn't sure if that was, I did just give birth, so I was like, "There's no."
Right. Sleep deprived, like all sorts of things going on.
And so I was a little nasally. I remember that. And he was like, I told him exactly what Fast Pace had sent me there for. And he said, "Well, there," he said, "these places don't know what they're talking about." He was like, "You probably have COVID or the flu. You're fine." And I was like, Okay. And I remember him leaving the room and he said, well, why don't we just go ahead and get you to pump and dump? Well, the nurse comes back flying back in as soon as the ER doctor leaves and she goes, honey, if you pump and dump, you're only going to get clogged up more and it's going to cause severe problems. So she was like, I advise do not do that. And I was like, all right. So I appreciate that nurse. So I got to give her a shout out.
Wow. Yeah. What, so what do you do? Like you listen to the doctor, you listen to the nurse,
Right.
can you not be on the same page, people?
Yes. And so the doctor came back in, and I remember the nurse asking, hey, do we need to do it? He's like, well, she says she has a blood clot. He's like, so we have to do what she says. You got to do all these tests. And I could tell he was very annoyed with me at the moment. And I understand that ER doctors, they're under so much stress. I mean, they are going from patient to patient. And so I don't want to deter anybody from going to the ER. We have amazing emergency room services. There just seemed to just be a little bit of a disconnect this time. And so, long story short, they did all the tests, the blood work, and of course, did the ultrasound. And I noticed when the tech came in, she asked me, she said, have you been on a plane or have you traveled somewhere in a car for a long time? And I said, no. I said, and I could tell her voice kind of, was fragile. And I said, is there a blood clot? And she said, well, I can't tell you. And I knew, like, right there in that moment, I was like, all right. And so, the doctor came back in, and I do have to give him this shout out. He said, I have never been more wrong. And he apologized for being, very curt. And, I thanked them. And, sometimes people can just be busy and they can, just say things out of frustration to the wrong person. So I do want to give him credit that he apologized. And they did put me on a blood thinner that night. And so, but after the getting the blood clot, it was just like my nerves were just absolutely rattled. And that night, I called my parents. I could not sleep. My anxiety was going through the roof, and I just had this fear of dying. I just had it was just implanted in my mind, and I just gave birth, and I thought, Lord, how can I be taken? And He needs me now more than ever. And my mom called one of her best friends, who's a nurse, and I got to give her a shout out. She is the greatest nurse in the state of Tennessee. And she actually came over to my house that night, slept on my couch, was literally telling me, hey, Brittany, it's going to be okay. I know it doesn't seem okay right now. And she, prayed with me, which is just a huge relief. And she had so much empathy. And I'm so thankful. And we are friends to this day. And,
I love that. Sometimes that's all we need, right? It's just that person that is there, whether they can truly help us or not. Just knowing that we're not alone is such a huge thing. Bless your mom. She sends you the most amazing cook, right? Who makes you go to the urgent care, who gets you to the emergency room to discover the blood clot, and then now she sends a nurse your way. Your mom's a blessing for sure.
my mom is my hero. I mean, she's one of my best friends, and the Lord blessed me with the best mama, and I hope in my lifetime that I can be half as great as she is. So, it truly is a blessing. My mom and dad decide to fly home the next day. They're like, we're canceling our trip, we're coming home. And they come home, and I'll fast forward a little bit. I just wasn't doing good at home. And I want to say this for the mamas that do, walk through postpartum. It is real, and surround yourself with people. Don't isolate yourself. And I figured out very quickly that when my husband, he went back to work, of course, very quickly. And I remember him coming home, and I told him this was right before we left to go stay with my parents. This was just a few days after the blood clot. I said something. I remember looking at him crying, going, something is wrong. Something is not right. My mind isn't right. My body doesn't feel right. I said, something has changed. And he was like, I think this is just postpartum. And, he was trying to really be there for his wife in any way. And so we went and stayed with my parents because I thought, I need to be around people. I need to be around my family. I need to be around encouragement. Not that that wasn't happening at my home. It's just that it was just me and the kids and my husband.
And you needed your mama. We all need our mama from time
Right.
to time, right? No matter how old we get.
Right. No, absolutely. So, I could not wrangle in my anxiety. It just was not getting wrangled in. So I reached out to my OBGYN and she made a recommendation to put me on Xanax. So I went on Xanax. And when I tell you that it makes you feel like a different person, my husband said that I turned into a zombie. Like there just wasn't much there. And even with the Xanax, I could not get the anxiety reeled in. And so I was trying prayer, I was trying meditation, I was trying, getting outside in nature, grounding, taking my shoes off, walking in the grass. I was doing all the things that I could. And so my parents were like, let's send you to Dr. Bernoulli, who is our local holistic doctor. And if you're in the Nashville area, I highly encourage you, if you're having any issues medically, he is your guy to go see. God just blessed him with the greatest gifts. And well,
That's
he
amazing. And listeners, as always, I will put the information in the description of this episode because we always need to find these holistic doctors, right, that have our best interest at heart.
absolutely. And there sometimes it's hard to find. And
It's very hard.
so I went in to see him and I told him about the night of that I experienced where it felt like a truck landed on my chest and I got the severe chest pain. And what he had thought possibly would ha had happened was a pulmonary embolism where the small clot in your chest. And he said, really, Brittany, it's a miracle that you're here. And I was super thankful. Do we know for sure? No, because we didn't do any chest x-rays at the ER or anything like that. But
But you had one in your leg as well, so
yes,
highly possible, yes.
it's highly possible. So he actually, I asked him, and I said, my left leg is starting to hurt too. I was like, why are both of my legs hurting? And I said, in my fatigue. And I said, maybe this is just a difficult pregnancy. I don't know. And it was a couple weeks after I'd given birth. And he said, I'm going to test you for Lyme disease.
Just
And
out of the blue.
he was like, that was one of his things. He said, I want to rule out. And I was like, me, Lyme disease? There's no way. And he was like, you'd be surprised. And so he actually tested me for Lyme disease. He came back negative. So we were like, okay. And he was even struggling as far as what it could be because it was on that postpartum side. Anyways, long story short, a couple days after his visit, I was at home and I was unloading the dishwasher and I was, just really struggling with anxiety, and I didn't know it at the time, but depression. I was very sad. And I was unloading the dishwasher, and I remember it to this day. This intrusive thought came in my mind to take my own life with a knife out of the dishwasher. And I dropped everything I remembered at the moment. I was like, what? And it freaked me out because I had never experienced this in my life. And I was scared to tell anybody, but I knew in my heart, I have to tell somebody. And my husband got to my parents' house later that evening, and I said, "Hey, can I talk to you?" And we went outside, and I said, "Listen, I'm having this repetitive thought." And I told him, I remember I looked at him and I said, "It's okay if you want to leave because you didn't sign up for this." And I said, "You didn't, and you don't deserve this." And he looked at me and I will never forget. He said, "I'm not going anywhere, and I would never hold something like this against you ever in your life." And to receive that kind of compassion, God blessed me with the greatest husband. And at first, he was like, "I'm not sure what to do." So we called my mom's friend, who was a nurse, and she said, she gave us the advice. She said, "I do work in the medical field, Brittany, so I do have to advise you that, you do need to, report this." And what they have is called, you could go to any hospital and say that you are having these suicidal type of thoughts. And what they do is they evaluate you, then they send you to a mental hospital. And I remember I went back inside and I told my mother what was going on. And I know her and my dad talked for a minute, and then she said, "Well, we could send you to the best ones they have today." And I remember she got on her knees crying, and she said, "I don't want to send you here, but we don't know what else to do." And I had to go upstairs and pack my bags because they were sending me to Rolling Hills Mental Hospital, and it was about an hour away. And I remember feeling like such a failure as a mom in that moment because, I had failed my children, I'd failed my husband, and I just remember, this overwhelm of tears just flowing. And my grandparents came to watch the kids while my husband and my mom were going to take me. And I remember my grandfather, and granted, he comes from a different time. And so I have to understand that. And I remember him looking at me saying, "I don't understand what's wrong with you." And I remember holding my head down in so much shame. And before I got in my mom's car, our firstborn, Sadie, she was at the time 6. She came running out to the car and she said, "Mom, Mom." And she had tears rolling down her face. She said, "You taught me to never be afraid." And she said, "So I'm telling you, do not be afraid." And it's amazing how God can speak in some moments and how he gave a 6-year-old more courage than me myself was just amazing. And so I got checked in to this mental hospital, and what I can say is it's probably I felt like it. I've never been to prison, but it's pretty close to it from what I could gather in there. There's no windows, and you have a bunk mate, and then you get stripped down and strip searched as soon as you get there. You get you just it's unlike anything I'd ever experienced. I thought, well, my mindset heading there, I thought, "I'm gonna get real help. They're
Right.
help me. I'm gonna get back. I'm gonna be super mom. This is my comeback story." And needless to say, the first day I was there, they set me up to meet with the doctor's assistant. I told my story, and you can just tell, like right off the bat with postpartum, that there's a little bit of judgment. But I mean, I just want to tell any woman out there in postpartum and Lyme disease, whatever you may have, do not hold your head in shame. It's not your fault. and do not hold your head in shame. And there is that, if anybody does judge, you know what? Well, guess what? They don't sit on the grand judge seat. God does. And
That's right. That's right.
we answer to one God and one God only. And so I met with the doctor next, and the in total time you get with the doctor is like 2 minutes. And I just remember thinking, he was like, you know, we're going to start you out on, they tried so many drugs on me while I was there. And I actually, on day two or three of one of the antidepressants they had me on, I had a bad reaction, passed out, had to go to the hospital. They were afraid that the one of the side effects could be blood clots. And so
You just can't get away from those blood clots, can you?
when I
Wow.
say, girl, that it came for your girl, it did. It came for your girl. And
Just to this point, Brittany, like I know I can visually sit here and see you and you look amazing and you obviously made it through this journey, but I can't even fathom what you've shared so far. Like my heart just breaks because obviously you were not where you needed to be. You did not need to be into that mental hospital, right? Where you felt like you were the bad person, the bad guy, like you said, prison, right? But then on the flip side, we're not understanding why we're having these disassociation feelings or these suicidal ideations. Like, we don't know what's going on with us. And we do think maybe we are turning crazy, like something happened, you know? And so then we think maybe the safest place for me is it just is a true story of how things aren't, I guess, always as they seem, right? Like it looked like this was the road that you needed to go down, but obviously, I'm only assuming because I know you had Lyme and you went through this journey that this really wasn't the route that you needed to go down. And just bless you because, here you are, this little family. You have a new little baby and you have to leave it. And then to have your daughter have that courage to give you courage. Like, first of all, kudos to you, Mom, because you raised a good one.
Thank you. Thank you. No, she, God's gifted her in so many ways. And isn't it amazing how children are just the greatest blessing, and they end up teaching you more
Yes,
than you
yes,
them, right?
yes.
All of God's grace and such a sweet little faces. So I'm in there, and when they put me on a bunch of these different benzos, I got worse. And I'm talking, it went from like a thought to every once in a while to constant now. It is constant intrusive thoughts of harming myself. Now it is changed from constant thoughts of harming myself to I couldn't even envision my children. And that was just, that broke me. And, I remember expressing that I said, "Hey guys, I'm not getting better. I'm getting worse." And they finally, I met with the doctor. This is on like the fourth or fifth day, and I said, he was like, "You're not a good candidate for benzos." He's like, "For whatever reason, your body is reacting horrible to benzos." And I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, what's our plan?" He was like, "Well, you've got to give us time." And keep in mind, I can only have visitors on, I think it was 3 days a week. And I cannot see our daughter because she's not allowed. They had to make an exception. I had to beg and plead to see my son. Because, you know, a mom being away from your newborn, that is, it was one of the worst moments of my life. And, I remember my dad coming to visit me, and my dad, I called him so much throughout my stay in there, and I told him like exactly what I was thinking. I said, "This is what's happening," and it did scare him, but he never lost confidence in me. And, you know, he wanted me to be safe. He wanted his grandchildren to be safe. It was the night before I literally figured out, it was the day before I had requested to, I said, listen, this nurse, I told her exactly what I was, you know, the thoughts I was getting. And I said, I'm really struggling. And she was like, you need to get out of here. She said, you're not a lab rat. And that's exactly how you're being treated. She said, you are a mom and you need to go get help. And for a nurse that works there to tell me that, and I'll back up just a second. It was my doctor was out the day. This day that I was supposed to see him. And so it was this other doctor. Well, all of us were lined up because it was on the weekend and we had to see him. And literally, we saw him for 2 minutes. And I remember going in there and I started telling him how I was feeling. And he said, oh, you're bipolar. And I was like, and I stopped and I said, wait a second, you're re-diagnosing me as bipolar because you've talked to me for 2 minutes? And come to find out, I go outside and all the girls that were in that line had been diagnosed bipolar. And so that some of them were crying. I looked at them and I said, do not for a second. A man that diagnoses you in 2 minutes has no right or authority to say that you have what? I said, there are tests. We need to do better than this. And I looked around, and what was also in there is you see a lot of broken people, number one, and you just want to love them and encourage them. Number two, you see recurrent customers and not the good kind, and people that keep coming back. And when I literally thought, I said, this is not helping society. We've got to do better than this. And that's when I decided I'm getting out of here. And I don't care what paperwork I got to fill out. I'm getting out of here. This is not helping. I'm not going to be a lab rat. I'm going to go get real help. And I don't care. I'm going to put in the work. And I remember calling my husband that night because he knew I was really scared in there. A lot of fights would break out, and randomly people would get jabbed with what was called booty juice. They'd get a shot in the butt to knock them out. I kid you not, this was not something I could make up.
Wow. And you're in a room with, a cellmate, if you want to call it that, right? With no windows. Like, this is not a place of healing. This is not a place of figuring out what's going through that. This is a place where people truly think that you are crazy and out of control and you need to be here. This is heartbreaking to hear because mental health is, just even outside of Lyme disease, like mental health is a real thing. And to know how at least one facility is treating this is doesn't sound very good.
It was heartbreaking because my heart does break for those people that re they really do are there because they don't know what else to do and they need help. And part of sharing my story is that's one thing I hope that I could shine a light on it is our mental health in America because we need it. We need
Yes, we do.
more than ever now. But I can tell you this, the eating a bunch of processed foods, no windows, no really one-on-one therapy time, things like that. I mean, that just is, does not equal a healing environment. And so my prayer goes out for those people. Well, I end up getting out, but I do have to admit this. I did lie on my forms. They asked if I had any more intrusive thoughts, any more suicidal thoughts. I told my husband and my father exactly what I was doing. They knew that I just needed to get out and we needed to figure out a new game plan. And that's gonna sound, not the right thing to do to a lot of people, and I understand that.
No, it, Brittany, it is, do not have any shame in that, because sometimes, we all want to be honest and forthright, but sometimes we know what's best. And I'm just so thankful that you had the capacity enough, right? The sane capacity enough to know that, okay, this is not the right place for me. I know I need to lie, because, when we are deep into a mental health issue, whatever it's stemming from, you oftentimes can't tell the difference, right? Like, you wouldn't be able to say, okay, this is what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to lie in order for them to believe me that I'm okay and I need to get out of here. Somebody that was truly in, I think, a crisis mode, not, and maybe that's not the right word, because you were certainly in a crisis mode. But you know what I'm trying to say? Somebody that is, there's something else going on there. They truly are out of their mind, right? And you were not, because you had the sense to know that I need help, but I need out of here. So I'm going to have to lie to figure it out. So I believe that, God will forgive. God forgives our sins, right? And this is one of the reasons why, because oftentimes, sometimes we have to make those sins, even knowing that we're doing it. So.
Yes, ma'am. And like I said, it's not something I'm proud of. But I did get checked out when they asked on the form. I lied all over my forms, like, oh no, you don't need to change anything. I just want it as far away from them as possible. And I never will forget that on the way home, I was Googling. Like, I got, oh, by the way, you could not have your phone in there. So I got my phone back. I've hugged my husband, hugged my fathers. They picked me up. I immediately hop on my phone and I'm like, all right, I gotta find somewhere because I don't know what I have, but something's not right and I need to go somewhere that can help me. And so I
Right.
started Googling and we got home and my children weren't there at first. They were Sadie was in school and then of course Riven was with my mother-in-law. And I remember when they brought them to my parents' home, I tried to hold Riven. I tried to hug Sadie, but the intrusive thoughts were so vivid, so grueling, and so it's like makes your worst nightmare look like a dream, of how to harm them. And it just broke me. And I just remember falling to my knees outside, and I found my dad, and I said, I can't be around them. I said, it's hard as it is right now, and that's the part that truly breaks a mother's. You love being around your children, and to just n know that I couldn't in that moment, and my dad realized how bad things really were at that moment. So my parents were like, let's just get you to our holistic doctor, Dr. Bernouillas. Go back to him. We've got you an appointment tomorrow. Just make it to the appointment. They were like, just make it. And so I traveled with my dad to the appointment, and Dr. Bernoulli, and you have to keep in mind, doctors do have to, they do have to recommend this because they do work in the medical field. But when I flat out told him exactly what was happening in my mind, he was like, all I can do is make a recommendation for Vanderbilt's mental hospital. And as soon as he said that, it was just like all hope had been sucked out of the room. And I have to understand that he was just doing his job. He has to do that. He works in the
Right.
medical industry. And I remember me and my dad drove all the way to the parking lot of Vanderbilt's mental health hospital. And my husband and my dad had gotten into a severe argument over the phone. And my husband and my mother did not want me to go back into the mental hospital because my husband said, I don't even recognize the person that came out of the first one. And he said, I don't want to send you in and then another round of drugs and who knows what's going to happen. And my father, he was just trying to protect everybody. So one of the things my dad said to me, he looked at me, he goes, "You know what, Brittany?" He said, "One thing you can say," he said, "even though we're arguing right now, me and your husband, we both love you and we both would do anything." And so in that moment, I just prayed and I just felt the presence of the Lord telling me to go back home. Don't go in there. And so we made a plan. And I have to thank my husband, my parents, my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, my grandparents. I stayed away from the kids. I did not. I stayed up in a room and then I would go outside during the day. The panic attacks got worse. The depression got worse. I finally got in with a psychiatrist, and she had kind of diagnosed me as postpartum OCD. And I had never heard of this. I got in with a therapist that was trained in postpartum OCD, and I was like, "Moms all around the world experience this?" And she was like, "It is unfortunate." She was like, "They do." And I was like, "How do they?" I said this, and she had so much compassion, and she really got me through some of the darkest moments at the beginning, and I can't thank her enough. And anyways, I wasn't, it was about a couple months down the road. This is going to be April, May of 2023. My psychiatrist had made a recommendation to go to a it's a clinic for severe OCD, and it was here in Nashville, called Rogers. And anyways, long story short, before I went to this clinic, Dr. Bernoulli had made he ran a panel, and he had come to find out I had PANS. Or pandas. And I had all these strep antibodies. And he really did believe that that was playing a part as well, because they were extremely high on my blood work. And so here I am. I don't even know what's real anymore, because I've been told
Right.
this is PANS, postpartum OCD, all these things. And you know, it really is like a step back, because we don't care until it smacks us in the face, right?
Right. So this is the original doctor who had tested you for Lyme, and you were negative, right? I'm assuming he probably did use accurate testing, right? We know that most of our testing isn't accurate. But so he comes back with PANS or pandas. So like the beginning of it is P, pediatric. So you're not a child. How do we, I mean, was that really a diagnosis that you had? And it actually sounds like it, right? Like a lot of these kids that I'm seeing going through this journey right now, it explains a lot of what you've been saying. But so now, of course, I'm not a doctor, right? But from what I've had, guests on the show in the past, I thought it was all a pediatric thing.
That's what I thought, but he said there are some cases where adults have it as well, and it's more of the PANS diagnosis. And I was like, hold up, what? And the fact that anxiety, sleep insomnia, mood are all affected with this disease. And so they recommended I go to this clinic called Rogers here in Nashville. They're all over. But they deal with severe anxiety and OCD. Well, I go to this clinic and I bring my book by Priscilla Shire with me, because I know they were like, "You're going to be doing a lot of sitting, but you'll be in and out of therapy." I thought, I'm going to bring my book, you know, on fervent prayer. And so I was reading my book, and the therapist that I got, you know, at first we got along just fine. But then he said something. He was like, "It's normal to have these thoughts." He was like, "It's normal." He said, "I can guarantee you most of your children's teachers all have these thoughts." And that's when I told him, I said, no, sir, I don't believe that. He said, we can't control our thoughts. He said, he's like, it's normal. People get thoughts of killing someone often. And I looked at him, I said, no, sir, I don't believe that.
Oh my gosh.
I said, he said, you have to understand that this is normal. And I said, I can't. And he said, you're going to have this the rest of your life. And I looked at him and I said, I don't believe that because I believe my God's going to heal me. And he looked at me and said, your moral belief is going to be an issue. And that day I went home feeling depleted, feeling neglected, and feeling depressed. And I just remember crying to my husband and I said, if I'm really going to have this the rest of my life, what's the point of doing this? And that's when he told me, and my parents told me, they said, you are not going back there. Like, you call him tomorrow, say you're done. And I did. I called them that next day. I said, I'm absolutely done. I remember I was sitting on my parents' staircase, and I was like, Lord, I don't have any answers right now. I don't know what I'm gonna do, Lord. And a podcast was on that I had playing, and a commercial had come on about the Amend clinics in Atlanta and how they did brain SPECT imaging. And I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna check this out. So I called and I'm like, hey, do y'all deal with people with OCD, anxiety, and depression?
Throw out all the names because we don't really know what we have, right? Do we have
All
OCD postpartum? Do we have.
have them all. Do we, do you guys deal with it? And she said, absolutely. And she was so kind. And she got me in right away. And I remember this is the night before we left for Atlanta to go get my brain SPECT imaging done. And the depression was so bad, the intrusive thoughts were so bad. I told my dad I wasn't sure if I could hang in much longer. And I remember my dad did a fire that night because that's always been our thing is to do fires. It's one of my favorite things to do. And he made a fire that night. And, this was roughly in June. And I told him I didn't think I was going to make it. I said, I don't think I'm going to make it. And I remember, kid you not, he was firm, but he looked at me in the eyes and he said, the doctors are not going to save you. What it's going to come down to is what you believe right now. And he said, do you believe that God can heal you? And I, kind of stuttered. He said, no, you have to believe because that's the only option. And I remember that conversation for so many nights, and that got me through so many nights. That next day when we were in Atlanta, I remember I was waiting for the brain SPECT imaging and we had went to lunch and I was sitting there sweating through my clothes. The panic attack was coming again. I was in a restaurant. It was very common for me to get them and not know how to breathe and just stop verbally. I just wouldn't even really know how to function. And it would paralyze me in the moment. And I pulled out my phone and I said, I don't know what this is. But I remember my Pat Summitt. I'm a huge Pat Summitt Lady Vols fans. I remember reading her quotes on my phone. And I said, this thing, whatever it is, wants to take me out. But I'm a daughter of the king. And I will not go out this way. And it was that moment that I got momentum. And my husband could see that the momentum had shifted. And I had hope for the longest time in a long time. And we did the brain SPECT imaging. We met with Dr. Matthews at the Amend Clinics. She said my brain SPECT scan looked like worse than a World War II veteran. She said there was so much inflammation. my basal ganglia was on fire. She said, "Your anxiety's got to be through the roof." And she could see also where my memory was being affected. She was so kind, and you could tell that she really cared and she wanted me to be well. Well, they did this DNA test that tests for all SSRIs, medications to see what goes well with your body. Because she did tell me to get you stable, we're going to have to put you on some medication. And, they actually said a bunch of the medications that were tried at Rolling Hills were horrible for my body. And I'm actually someone that could never go on an SSRI because of the reaction I'll have. And let me just tell you something. I believe all doctors should be doing that. They should be testing if, you know, if. Because sometimes there is a situation where medication is needed. I totally get
Absolutely. Yeah. But our bodies are all different. Our DNA is different. We cannot all handle the same things. We're so individualized.
absolutely. So I got to give the Amend Clinics credit that they do an outstanding job of they want to do the best job for your body, and they want to truly help you. And, you know, of course, I went on a couple different medications. A couple months had went by, but I just still was not getting better. We went up on the medications, but the depression had gotten worse, and the suicidal thoughts had gotten only more intense. I'm still trying to be mom, trying to interact with my children, and going through therapy. And I remember Dr. Matthews said, "I think I need to send you to the Lyme specialist." She is, and they actually have one at the Amend Clinic. So if you don't have a doctor currently, Dr. Cornish sees anyone via Zoom. She's incredible.
Yes, I know good Dr. Cornish, yes.
She's the Lyme queen. So she actually ordered a test from Vibrant Wellness. And, we got the test done. It came back, and come to find out, I had Lyme disease and Babesia. And I was kind of floored at first. What? You know, and she, you know, educated me that sometimes we can get bit. I know that I got bit when I was a child. I do remember that. And it can remain dormant and, unfortunately, they're, you know, either trauma can bring it out or stress. And what's more, you know, trauma and stress than birth, right?
Right. A good trauma, but definitely trauma to your body, and that happens a lot. Car accidents, sometimes even an illness, COVID, whatever it is, any type of trauma can just bring that thing out, and you could have been infected 30 years ago. Like it doesn't matter. So, oh my gosh, you finally get this Lyme diagnosis.
Yes, and to be honest, I was really grateful on one hand, to kind of get that closure of like I know what it is now. And we tried several different antibiotics. This was about 8 month journey, and we had tried round after round, but I would have such a bad Herx reaction. And the depression would get so bad that we had to stop each time. And methylene blue was one that we tried, but I had such a Herx reaction that we couldn't do it. And I was back to not being as involved with my kids because during the Herxing, the thoughts would get more intense, more graphic. And during this Lyme journey, I started having nightmares and night terrors that would wake me up in the middle of the night, and I would be sitting in water. That's how much sweat that I was happening. And then I do remember my legs throughout this journey had hurt so bad, but when especially when I was hurting, I almost, it was hard for me to even walk at times. And I remember she recommended the sauna, so we went out on Facebook Marketplace. The Lord provided because there was a elderly couple that posted like a brand new sauna on Facebook Marketplace, like an hour away. They had bought it for $9,000. I asked her, "Hey, would you take 2,000 cash?" She said, "Absolutely." The Lord provided. And I did the sauna each and every day, and I would turn it all the way up to 145 to 150, and I would stay in there for a half hour to 45 minutes, and I was just trying to detox. Well, on top of the sauna, on top of the doing the changing my diet completely to eating only whole foods, doing cold plunges, exercising, and in the meantime, I also went back to work. And work, I have to thank them so much. They let me work from home. So I'm trying to work from home because, as you know, financially, this is expensive.
Yes.
We end up deciding to sell our house because this is getting so expensive. We move in with my family full time. We moved the sauna there. I'm doing everything repetitively. We just could not get ahead. And I remember I went back to Dr. Bernoulli's office and I was like, I just feel like something's missing. And after a little bit of research and time, he is an expert at Lyme. And I won't lie, it took me a minute to go back to Dr. Bernoulli because I had lost faith because I thought you tested me for Lyme and missed it. But let me tell you something, doctors are just like human beings. They are. We all get it wrong sometimes, but it's not to judge, it's not to to call him out in any way whatsoever. He is still our family doctor to this day because he's such an amazing man and God has truly gifted him. And I went back to him and he said, I think we need to test for Bartonella. So we do, this is in July of 2024. We do the Bartonella test. It comes back and they're like, your red blood cells are covered in Bartonella. And one of the symptoms of Bartonella is psychosis. And that's what they were really concerned with me because mine was so far on the mental side. And, at that point, I remember coming home and my labs all had come back very poorly. I knew I didn't have much longer on this earth if things kept going the way they were. And I remember sitting out in my parents' pool area, and I just got back from my doctor's appointment. And I remember saying to my mom, I said, Mom, if I don't get a miracle soon, I'm just not going to be here. And I remember she looked at me and she said, there's got to be something. And so I went back to work the next day, just working from home, and I had a podcast on, and I thought, you know what? There's got to be a Lyme podcast out there. So I started searching, and I came across Dr. Christopher Motley and Dr. Josh Axe podcast, and they were talking on Lyme disease, and I was like, who is this Christopher Motley? Is he local? And so, boom, I find him. I get an appointment, book it for about a month out. I was like, this is awesome. Thank you, Jesus. And so I started continuing researching. And I have to say that all these podcasts would lead me to a new podcast. And I finally, in August of 2024, came across, after hours and hours of podcasting, the Lord, gave me a podcast by Dr. Mark Hyman. And he mentions in his podcast that he went to what's called Santa Vive in Mexico. And I was like, what is this place? And so I start researching that night, and I see that they are a hospital that's founded just for Lyme disease and cancer patients. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. And so I ended up calling the admissions office there. I fill out all the paperwork. I'm like, what would the price be? And of course, the price is substantial. It's almost about $40,000. And thankfully, not a lot of people have that type of money. I know we didn't. We had spent everything we had had. We ended up selling our land, and that gave us part of the money. And then my grandfather actually paid for the other half of it out of his own pocket, for me to go. And it was right before I left for Santa Vive, and it was a 2-week Lyme program.
Okay.
I met with Dr. Motley. I met him actually in person at his practice, and I asked him, I said, I told him everything I've been experiencing. I said, do you ever have any suicidal thoughts when you had it? And he said, you would not believe. And so for somebody else to just tell me that made me feel like I was not this monster. And he had so much compassion, I remember. And so for anybody out there that does, when you find somebody that has those same feelings or has walked through the same valley you have, it really just feels makes you feel connected. We go to Santa Vive, and or right before Santa Vive, this is the night before. In James, it talks about in the Bible to go before the church if you're unwell, to be prayed over. Well, the night before I left, my parents' church came to my house, and they all gathered around me and they just prayed. And so the church came to me, and for that to even happen was just amazing. And for that, so many people to pray over me was just the greatest blessing and gave me the greatest hope. Now, when we got to Santa Vive, my husband and I had to stay there for 2 weeks, of course. This is the type of hospital that I originally had envisioned at Rolling Hills. This is the type of place that you want to go. Because not only do they, when you get there, you do all the tests and they check everything. They're so thorough there. And come to find out, they confirmed I had Lyme disease, but they also confirmed I had Bartonella, Babesia, Ehrlichia, and the Rocky Mountain spotted fever as well. And I was just like blown away when they told me, and they said, well, they were like, this is not acute, Brittany. We think you've had this for a really long time. And I was like, what? And long story short, I remember getting bit when I was a child, but I was very sick as a kid. I was always nauseous, and I was always my immune system was just tanked. And occasionally I would get leg pain as a kid. And so I don't know which co-infection came out of remission when I gave birth to my son, but it was not a pretty one. Thankfully, there at Santa Vive, I remember being in the lobby the first day that I'm getting ready to do treatments, and all these treatments consist of hyperbaric oxygen, the IVs, your diet. They are going through all of your nutrition. They are feeding you the best foods for your body.
So is this an inpatient
Yeah,
clinic?
it is. It's
Okay.
an inpatient hospital, but you are looking at the beautiful ocean. What a place to heal, right? What a
Right. So that's, I've heard of Santa V. Is that what you're calling it? Santa V. I've heard of this, and I guess I didn't realize that it was actually like a healing resort where you go and stay. People cook you food, the good food, the healthy food. They use all these different modalities to treat you. And we need this. We need a place like this. I wish we had one in the States, right? But hey, at least there is one out there,
Absolutely.
albeit expensive, right? And so they did hyperthermia there as well.
They did. Hyperthermia, you do it two sessions, once the first week and then one the second week. And when I tell you that hyperthermia was the hardest moment of my life and the hottest moment of my life, you're in this chamber. Your body is all in this chamber except for your head. Your head is sticking out, thankfully. But they heat your body up to an internal temperature of 107 degrees because when your body gets up that high, it naturally turns on its immune system. You have that fever, your body goes to the defense and is able to do. But once it reaches that top temperature, they insert those antibiotics as well. So it's like a 1-2 punch to the Lyme disease.
Okay, so were you awake when they did this?
I was awake for the first hour. It's a 4-hour process. The first hour was the hottest, the most intense, painful, and your anxiety climbs to limits you didn't know that was there. And from what I understand, you also experienced hyperthermia. And I'm so sorry you had to experience that, but at the same time, I'm thankful that we did. And
It truly was the most brutal part of, I think, my whole entire life. It was horrible. I don't know how else to say it. They raise your body temperature. I literally shake in convulsions for hours. And, I'm at home with my mom. It wasn't an inpatient clinic where I went to. And so we would have to monitor my temperature as it got higher and higher, literally like every minute we would recheck it, because once it got to, a certain temperature, like say 105, I knew within 2 minutes it would be over 107. So I had to start bringing it down, but it would still raise up to 107. And I did this 5 days a week.
Bless your heart.
Week after week after week, and I was awake the whole entire time. So
Oh
it
my.
is brutal, but I had never heard of it. I didn't know where else to go. It was just what they did at the clinic in the States here. And again, like, this doctor saved my life and truly grateful for it. But to know that they do offer hyperthermia other places where they actually will maybe put you to sleep, like, I'm even more grateful for that. So if you're listening and you want to look into hyperthermia, I encourage you to go somewhere where they put you to sleep.
Absolutely no. And if you want a place of healing, Centevieve, like I said, they do meditations there during the morning. They really do focus on, mental, physical, spiritual health as well there. And you also get therapy while you're attending there as well. And then hyperbaric oxygen. Oh my gosh, oxygen is so good for your body, especially with, I really do believe, for any disease, it's great. And there was some things I took away while I was there in Santa Vive. I remember my first evening there, and this is right before the hyperthermia session, and I remember watching the sunset from it's kind of on a cliff is where the resort is. And I remember watching the sunset, and I remember promising, I said, God, if you heal me, I promise my life is yours, and I will do something to bring glory, honor, and praise to you. And I get to say now that he did heal me. And one of the cool, amazing things that happened at Santa Vive is also on that same day that I was, looking at the sunset, one of the staff members stopped me and asked, they said, "Did you thank God for the gift today?" And I said, I'm sorry, what?" And they said, "Did you thank God that you woke up today and he gave you another day?" And how many people stop you and ask that in a healing environment? And I had to go back after I finished my 2 weeks. I came home, and I will tell this for anybody that goes and experiences it, you will feel very weak when you come home because your body, you've just put it through absolute hell, and that there's no
Right.
other way to put it. And one of the things when I was upon leaving, they were building a chapel, and I actually had to come back a second time in February of 2025, just to get an FMT done there. Because, as you know, with Lyme disease, if you do any type of antibiotics, your gut gets destroyed. And so I got an FMT there, and when I went back my second time,
Brittany, I have to ask you, what is an FMT?
fecal matter transplant.
Oh, yes.
It's not fun, but we need good bacteria in our bodies.
I've
And
heard about that, yes.
they can actually do that there. Unfortunately, we can't do it in the States yet. I'm hopeful. But we do need to replenish what is gone, essentially, in our gut. And when I came back that second time to Santa Fe for another week's stay in February of 2025, the chapel actually was finished. And I remember the day before I left that second trip, I was a totally different girl. I dropped to my knees in that chapel and I just praised God because he rules and he reigns. And sometimes we don't understand on this side of eternity why the things that ha why the things happen to us that do. But I do know that as of I followed the protocol when I got home, and as of May of 2025, I am Lyme free, and it is all in remission. And the greatest thing of all is that through this, my husband just got baptized in December of 2025 and has come to know the Lord. And I mean, if I had to walk through that again for this to happen, I would. And I'm a better mom because of it. And I'm so incredibly grateful for the doctors and the people that I've met. And even you right now is just an amazing to meet you. And I know that at the moment I didn't see why I was walking through it, but and I'll never know why. And my heart cries out for anybody out there that is going through it, but know that there is God and He does love you. And I'm praying for you. And if you need anything, please reach out to me and I will help in any way that I can. And I'm just amazed by what God has done in this journey.
Brittany, wow. I'm not speechless often, as any of the listeners probably know that. I couldn't take over any part of your show. I mean, just wow. Just wow. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you
I'm
so
so proud of you. God is so good.
much.
And we know that it's hard to find that and hard to understand that when we're in the depths of our journey, right? I had a love-hate relationship with God for many years. I couldn't understand what was going on, but you just shared the blessings that came from this. And I mean, talk about a brutal journey you went through. And oftentimes we have to go through something like this to see that miracle or to see that light. Just wow. I don't know what else to say other than I'm so thankful for you for being so vulnerable and sharing your journey with me and the listeners, because It is a real thing that we go through and we struggle tremendously. And you had the opportunity to give up time and time again, and you didn't. And you reap the rewards from it. And so, I mean, this is such a powerful story of resilience and fighting back. And so many people that are out there going through this journey want to give up. Or maybe they don't want to give up, but they know that they're not going to make it. And you're here to tell them otherwise. So truly, thank you from the bottom of my heart for sharing your journey. And I'm so happy for you. And your family sounds amazing. And your children have just the best mama ever. So thank you.
Well, thank you. You are so kind, and the most, biggest reward is that I get to be their mom. And yes, I missed out on a lot of time, but it's made me treasure it even more. And I know well, seems like an eternity when you're in the thick of it. Like, how long will this last? Why? But keep in mind, one of the things that got me through it was the fact that even if it's an inch you move, you celebrate that inch. You write it down every night. I'm so grateful that today I got out of bed. Today those little things will end up making a huge impact. So thank you for having me. And I know I've talked your ear off. I'm a southerner, so you just have to forgive me.
No, it just, I wish we could just go on because I truly have a million more questions and could dive down into so much more of this. But you did a fabulous job breaking it down. And truly, I think that we all felt it with you. And that is powerful because we need your voice in this community to help people get through their darkest days. And you're just the shining light of that because you did it. So I appreciate you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.